Stay with me here.
All right.
I'm a little odd.
Meatloaf.
No. God,
you don't like meatloaf?
I like ketchup, which is a main ingredient in meatloaf.
That's the joy of meatloaf is ketchup.
If you ever had me over at your house and you're like, hey, we have meatloaf, I will respectfully decline if I'm at your house. I'll leave. I'll be like,
I'll
hey, look.
Replace it with mustard. It'll just be mustard all throughout. There and we I go. Will not touch it. I hate mustard.
Hey, mustard's versatile.
It can be horrible on anything. Welcome to the Goose Grace, because all the good names are taken. My name's Dan Amos, and I'm with the chef responsible for pigs in a blanket.
Drew Meadows.
Oink, oink, baby.
You know what they always say? The creator hates the creation.
Do you not like pigs in a blanket?
I like them with mustard.
A little barbecue sauce. Maybe a little honey mustard.
I've already told you. And first of all, I used to like honey mustard, and then I just stopped liking it.
Thanks for that riveting story, sir. I did like it. Now I don't like it.
No, it seriously happened like that. It was like one day I was like, I can't get enough of this stuff.
You are trash.
Yeah, next day I was like, this repulses me.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Most of it's centered around my sister. Like, I don't like ketchup because Lauren liked ketchup. And they also got rid of the Shrek ketchup, which irritated me.
The stretch-up. Was it green?
Nope, purple.
Oh, obviously, like our favorite Shrek.
Like, I mean, it went along with the Shrek ketchup. They had different color ketchups. Look it up.
Like, the Shrek ketchup was different colors? Like, they had multiple colors of Shrek ketchup?
No, they had Shrek ketchup. I loved it.
Okay.
And then, after Shrek ketchup, they made different color ketchups.
Okay. I was combining the two. Okay, yeah. I got you.
And
I
then got they right. got rid of my purple ketchup.
Yeah, I was aware of the purple ketchup. I couldn't do it. Like, my flavors have to match the colors.
Well...
Tomatoes are red. Ketchup.
What flavor is ketchup?
Tomatoish.
Eat a tomato. Tell me that's ketchup.
It's a fruit sauce.
First of all,
tell me I'm wrong.
It sounds disgusting.
Tell me I'm wrong. A tomato based sauce is a fruit sauce.
No, I mean it is, but that's like saying, you know, I want some of that banana sauce. You'll say that.
Good.
Even though we do say applesauce.
Now, that's the thing. I would think that was a sauce that was good on bananas, not a sauce made from bananas.
You Why? Know. If you just said tomato sauce, which is salsa.
Like, dipping sauces are wait, not does made that, from
do,
dippings.
Wait, does that make pizza a fruit?
It's a fruit-based Italian dish.
Because it has a sauce of its
of the fruits, yeah. Yeah. Like,
eggplant's a fruit, too.
Tangy fruit sauce on this fruit pizza.
So for a long time, I used to think that word was tangy.
Tangy. Tangy. Oh, I love it.
But yeah, eggplants are, I think eggplants
did you,
are
did you introduce
fruits?
You did.
Yeah, no, did not yet. No. Haven't got
Who are you, man?
I'm Drew.
Hey, Drew. Nice to meet you. First time caller, long time listener. It'd be weird if it was the other way around. First time
listener, long
never
time
listen
caller.
To your show. I just call in repeatedly. By the way, we don't have a phone here.
Have you seen
the
movie Hubie Halloween?
No.
You need
Adam
to watch
Sandler,
it. Yes.
Right?
There's a scene where he calls in the radio, but he has a radio too close to the phone, and so it echoes, and he's like, stop it, hey, stop it, stop it, I can hear you, stop copying me, and it's just hilarious, and that's what I thought of.
That's beautiful. All right, so we are in 1 Timothy, chapter 2.
Chapter 2 of 1 Timothy.
1 through
7.
Let's do 1 through 7. Okay, yeah.
Realistically, yeah. 1 through 7.
Yeah, we won't get that far, but I'm going to read it. And you're going to pray.
I am.
All right.
Just I'm a little prayer boy today. And you're a little reading boy today.
I can read.
My mama told me I can read.
All right, here we go. 1 Timothy. Barely, I can't read.
1 Timothy.
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Here we go. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to stop right there. We're not getting further than that. I'm going to tell you right now, we're not getting further than that. I'm psyched. Let's go.
All right, well,
pray it up.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Be with us, and let's pray for each other, Lord, and earnestly mean it. In your name I pray. Amen.
All right, here we go. Round one. All right, I just saying, starting right off, It says, who are we to pray for? For what people? What people are we to pray for? Three letters.
All people.
Doesn't say pray for the people you like. Doesn't say pray for the people that you get along with.
Let's pray for everybody. Let's break it down.
Break it down.
The word exhort, big word. Not a lot of people know what it means. And it's simply what? I mean, it's true.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it. Statistically.
What Paul's saying, he's urging people. It's a strong urge.
Where's your word exhort?
In verse 1, it says, therefore I exhort, first of all.
I urge.
Yeah, there you go. So yours has the definition.
Yeah.
Mine just has exhort.
Well, I don't know what to do with that, but okay.
Well, I mean, not everyone's going to be reading from your translation. They might have
exhort.
They're
cool, they are.
Well, okay. You made it uncool quick.
So what's exhort mean, Drew?
It means to urge, strongly encourage. Like, for example, if Dan was on train tracks and a train was coming, I could exhort him to get off the train tracks, you know? I mean,
it seems like a strange use of the word. Why did your brain go right there? So here's my.
Because I'm strongly urging you to get off the tracks.
Like my.
Now your daughter.
My dear friend Dan, I do exhort you, please get off those train tracks. There seems to be a locomotive coming.
now your wife and your daughter might be exhorting you to stay. Like,
well, no, I mean, they don't have an opinion because they're the ones that tied me there in the first place. So they're like, that guy can't unravel.
I urge you, first of all, like he is starting off with this. He wants you to understand that this isn't just like, hey, can you please do this? He's like, no, you need to do this. I am urging you, I'm begging you, please do this.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh my gosh, you always ask. When can I get that?
It's tricky. It's tricky. Who wrote this?
Oh.
You really look panicked there for a minute. So here's the thing. And I had this discussion with somebody earlier this week. These letters that come from Paul, okay?
I.e. some of the New Testament, most of the New Testament.
There you go. What do a lot of them do? They call the church to correction, right? Think about that. How would the modern church deal with someone, a pastor who granted, they knew it, like he wasn't a stranger. Let's be real here.
He started a lot of the church.
Right. So he wasn't a stranger. But writing and being like, hey, you guys are wrong. Hey, you guys need some correction on this.
Most time they would take to Facebook.
Like, we would be, how dare you?
Oh, they would be a false prophet. Yeah. Be like, oh, that's a false prophet. He's a false prophet. You know, and, we 100%, I'm going to say this, we 100% get a letter.
Yeah. We'd be up in arms and like, I'm amazed at that relationship that, you know, it just shows you how we've come to largely despise correction as the church. And again, by no means am I speaking for every church. There are exceptions out there. But for a lot of us, we want to be able to say, hey, this is how I want to worship. This is what I want to do. But the thing of it is, and Paul recognizes this, there is a correct way to worship and a correct way to be the body of Christ, and it's not defined by our whims and wishes. It's defined by what God says through his word. And so it amazes me, and I wonder just how we would handle that in modern day, having someone tell us, hey, look, guys, you kind of missed the mark on this. We need to rethink what you're doing. All right, go ahead. I just wanted to jump into that for a minute.
Yeah, and then, you know, so he's begging, hey, you need to pray. You need to be an interceder for people, which is a huge ask.
Well, what's an interceder? Yeah.
You know,
we're going through words here.
Jesus was his perfect example as an interceder. He interceded for us. We had a debt we paid. He interceded and paid that debt for us.
He steps in as the middleman and works out the deal.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's if, you know, for example, when a church rallies around someone who has like a sickness or something or surgery coming up, and they come down and they pray over them, everybody lays hands.
You're going to bat for
them. And then someone prays, the church is being an interceder for that person. But they weren't all, I agree with you, that word all means even your worst enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Even the people that hate you.
Now, here's a beautiful thing, and I can attest to this personally. That person that you would consider, quote unquote, your worst enemy, they don't stay that way for long after you start praying for them. It is so difficult.
Because a new rival emerges for you to defeat.
Level up.
No, I'm kidding. It's a joke.
A new contender awaits. No, but the crazy thing is, so and I'm going to be so transparent with this. There was somebody I didn't get along with from my childhood. All right. Held on to it for years and years and years. A lot of just pent up anger and hurt and all of that. Prayed for them. Got in my heart like, okay, I got to pray. Flat out refused for years. I'll be like, it just wasn't happening. Did it. And that first prayer, it's embarrassing. It was like, all right, I'll pray for him. All right, you talk. All right, I'm praying for him. Here we go. I'm praying for like it was not. I was not. Dear Lord, just bless this young man. No, it was. I was
put
like, all right,
head
here we
protection
go.
Over
it was like that picture of that kid like dragging his feet when he doesn't want to go somewhere. It's that kind of thing. But before long, if you keep it up, it changes your outlook about that person. Because here's the thing: that person probably never felt an ounce of hate from me, because we didn't have a whole lot to do with each other really. But yet my life was suffering because of that hate that I had for him. Mm-hmm. And so you start to let go of that as you pray for him. So it's absolutely important to pray for all people, including those, or I would say even especially those that you may have issue with. And then it goes on for kings and all who are in high positions. Oh, all right, we're going to hit this and we're going to run. We're not going to stay here too long because it could get ugly. All right. So it doesn't say pray for those in high authority or high positions that you agree with. All right. Look, you may have whatever feeling you have about the current president, the past president, the president yet to come, all of them. Sound like the ghost of Christmas past or something. But here should be your prayer. And I think I'm on sturdy ground with this. Your prayer should be that whoever they are, that they turn to Christ, that they turn to God and rely on his wisdom and not their own. Does that track, Drew? Does that make sense? All right.
And whether you agree with him or not, God has placed him there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. For whatever his purpose may be, it may not be to hold them up high or whatever. We don't know. But that's his purpose. And I hate to say it, and we don't like it, but God's a committee of three, and it doesn't include me, Trinity. I just want to be real clear about that. I wasn't like there are two people that we don't know about that are God, Drew Meadows.
God, Drew Meadows, and Andrew Meadows.
But really, like, God doesn't need my opinion about things. And that's, I think that's hard for us to swallow today because we want to share our opinion on everything.
I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what happens. God has called us to live a certain way.
Mm.
And if you cannot live that way, you're in disobedience. I don't care if you're justified, if you're like, well, he's not leading a biblical biblical country. Like, you have to at least respect him.
I was about to say, you don't have to like him.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
And if it goes against the Bible, you don't have to listen to him.
Right,
but
right.
You still need to respect him and understand, hey, God put him there for a reason.
And again, that prayer, like, you know, I'll say, if you don't like him, pray harder. But if you see him making choices that are not godly, that don't align with God's word, that's all the more reason for you to pray for him. Because here's the thing, and this applies to everybody, not just politicians or whatever. So often, we would rather see, this is going to sound hateful, but I mean it with all the love I can muster up. We would almost rather see somebody burn than see them turn and correct their course.
But much Jonas.
Yeah, yeah. Like we catch them and let's say they're in the wrong, okay? They're living against God's word. First of all, so are we every day of our lives in some way, shape, or form. So get over it. We're all on level ground here. We're all sinners. But there's so many who would rather be able to look at them and say, well, at least I'm not doing that, than to see them actually correct their behavior and correct their relationship with God. And so my question to you is, what's the end goal? I mean, and I got this picture. Go ahead.
There'll be people that somebody will get saved, and this immediately tells me where your heart's at, and what kind of faith you have. When someone gets saved, and they're rough around the edges, just be
as
real.
We all are.
You know, and that person immediately says, "Well, let's see how long it lasts."
Yep. They're just itching for them to make their mistake.
And or that won't stick. Or, well, they got saved before and their actions didn't change. Why is this one any different? Yep. First of all, you're handcuffing God. Second of all, you're handcuffing God. That's just it's big enough to be 2 points. Because that's what you're saying. You're saying, hey, they're too bad of a person for God to do anything with. And you're
ignoring the fact that by his measurement,
sin is sin.
Y'all are on common ground. Y'all are both sinners.
Before you got saved, you were just as bad as them.
Yeah.
And then we go on to, it's not just talking about. It's not talking about kings. I mean, it's not just talking about kings.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just talking about president.
Right.
You know, what about the governor? You know, what about the principal at your child's school?
What about your boss?
What about your pastor?
And that's the thing. Like, I mentioned this. It's funny that it came up. I mentioned on Mosaic Mirror earlier this week. Like, we're so quick to be like, man, the pastor messed up. I didn't like that message. I think he's off on it. How quick are we to pray for him? But the thing that gets me is like we treat this race that we're running, the Christian life, as if the way we get to heaven is by stepping on those who have stumbled and fallen. And that's not the case, but yet so often we say, Well, I'm not that guy, and he's messing up, so I'm a little higher. Well, I'm not that guy. And so you get into this mindset where we want people to fail.
We use standards as steps. We use we instead of using God as a standard, we use other people.
Yeah.
And we make small standards to where we can uplift ourselves so we get closer and closer and closer to where we want to be. When in reality, you're completely wrong.
There's one standard.
I've seen people get mad at the pastor for everything.
Oh, yeah.
The smallest thing, from not saying hey to.
Yeah.
And it just comes from no. We got too many people that want to be chief and not enough Indians.
Yep.
And
don't cancel us for that.
And you know, I mean, I don't care if they do. Again, you know, Paul's not talking about this, but in a way he is, because he's saying you pray for them. And if you truly love them, like God calls us to, you will have no trouble praying for them. And if you're not praying for them, do you love them?
Well, and I'm going to link it even a little more to what you're saying. If we continue right there, it says, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. That person that's just looking for stuff to grab a hold of, to point out to, they're not leading that peaceful and quiet life. And man, in today's society, who in the world is holding up a peaceful and quiet life and saying, this is what
and
this
you could tell me yes,
be.
And you can say I am. I'm not the one starting it. Oh yeah, give me your phone.
Or
let me see your text messages. Let me see your Facebook. Let me see your social media in general. And I'll tell you if you are the one trying to live a peaceful life,
quiet
or
life,
if you're the one who's not.
Well, and here's what we do. I've seen this so often. We won't say anything to anybody about, like, I won't be the one to start it. But then we'll say, well, somebody, now I just think that you ought to know that so-and-so said something about you, and here's what they said, or here's what they did against you. Now I'm not trying to start nothing. Bull. You are itching for it.
And then if they say, well, I didn't start it, but I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
You see.
You foghorn leghorn. I say.
I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this.
Angrily. Do it.
You go all in. You go back to what Paul is saying here about prayer and, you know, peaceful life. And if you're praying for somebody, it changes something in your psyche that you're worried about them.
Oh, absolutely.
It changes something in there where you care about them and you want to see them succeed rather than fail. Yeah. So if I'm praying for you, then when you start stuff about me, I won't come at you and say, hey, you know, you started it, but I'll finish it. No, I won't say that, because I care about you as a person. And this whole mentality of, because I've had people tell me this, right? Yeah. Well, I'm just blunt. I just say, first of all, if I'm talking to you, and this is, you know, I'm not even using you as an example. I'm talking about any listeners.
I'm not blunt, Drew.
Anybody who listens to this podcast, anybody who talks to me, if you start the conversation with, I this is just who I am. I'm a blunt person. I tell it like it is. I'm immediately
defense is up.
No, my defense is no. I'm shut down. I'm out of that conversation with you, because at that point I could care less what you're going to say, because I know you're trying to hurt me, and that is the most disrespectful thing. And that shows me that you're not praying for me. It shows me you're not loving me in the way God called you to love.
Yep.
And I had one person recently. They looked at me and they said, and I quote, "I'm just being honest."
Oh,
I'm not. And they said, and you don't know me yet, but I'm a person. I say what's on my mind, and I don't care if it hurts people. And I looked at him. I said, "Well, I say what's on my mind too." I said, "But I do think about it, because there's sometimes you don't need to hurt people."
Yeah.
If you can say it in a nicer way, I'm going to figure out how to say it in a nicer way. But yet it comes from a place where you do not love the other person. You don't love the person sitting across from you, because do we ever see Jesus just attack the Pharisees after they sit there and they try to confuse him, they try to make him look bad? Do we ever see him say anything to Judas about him betraying him? No. He even tells Judas, "Hey, go. I know what you're going to do. Go do it."
Yeah.
You know, and then on the cross, those people have just nailed him to a cross. Yeah. They just beat him with the inch of his life. They just made fun of him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They just gave him sour wine. They did all this, and he still says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So don't tell me this is the only way you can phrase it. No. What you're telling me is you have no love in your heart. You don't pray for anybody. You are the most selfish person that you could possibly be. And I'm sorry if that hurts people, if that offends people, and you're like, "Well, that's just who I am." No, it's not. It takes you 5 seconds to be a good human being and think about things and say, "Could I say this in a nicer way?" Well, Jesus thought before he spoke. That's what's wrong with America, is we don't think before we speak.
Oh, no.
We think we have this sense of authority to say, "Hey, I can do what I want to and face no repercussions, no consequences." Jesus loved. You go back to what we talked about, the greatest commandment, the greatest love, and what was the third one? I forgot already. Great commandment, the great love. Commission. Great commission. That greatest great commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. The second one is love others as you would love yourself. And so if you're sitting there telling me that in your head you're like, "Hey, I'm not trying to be mean, Drew, but you're an idiot." No, I'm not doing that. Why would I do that to somebody else? Because Jesus specifically said right here, love one another. And if we can't do that, we're missing the mark.
Man, is that a breath?
I mean, like, it's just
I got you, man. And the thing of it is that idea of it, and it's so easy to hide behind the idea of, "Well, that's just who I am." Well, here's the thing. Maybe you got some weird Bible. I don't know, but mine says I'm a new creation, and that
old things have passed away.
Right, and so that's to reflect Christ. And what Drew just got done with is the fact that, if we're reflecting Christ, we reflect that love, we reflect that patience. We're called to, and even Paul calls us to be ready to defend the word, but to do so with humbleness and patience.
And you go back up to verse 1, it says, giving thanks, giving of thanks be made for all men. It means you're thankful for everybody. If I'm praying for you and I'm thankful for you, I'm not going to attack you.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to phrase things in a way to hurt your feelings. And so, like, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm dying on this hill, but it's just really irritating.
That's like, all right, like, I got you.
When you sit here and you say, "I'm just an honest person, I don't care if it hurts your feelings." Yes, you're right, you don't care. Right now, you're being unbiblical.
Yep.
You're being unbiblical.
Admitting it.
Like...
So, I want to get back to this: lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Here's the thing. I think so many of us have forgotten about this, because I tell you, when I was teaching in school, I taught kindergarten, first and second. All right, so we're talking about probably 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 year olds. Say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Used to be, when I was a kid, astronaut. I almost said spaceman. Think of the word astronaut. Yeah. Firefighter, policeman, all that, you know, typical stuff, baseball player, whatever. Now, everyone, YouTuber, influencer, YouTuber.
I did have a kid in first grade say he wanted to be a garbage man.
Hey, that's a well-paying dream right there.
You know why? Bad. He says, "So I get to take out the trash." I'm like, pretty sure that's the wrong phrase.
He's a vigilante garbage man. I love it.
He's garbage man at night.
He's bag man.
And he's garbage man during the day. It's just the garbage man at night is more like a off-brand Batman. Yeah. he beats up people who aren't even like...
He finds stuff during the day to make his costume and stuff for night. Then he goes out.
He's wearing a microwave. He cut the bodies. It's on his head. He opens the door to talk. Hey, I'm here.
And they offer some protection. He shut that door.
You're going to shoot.
But... Where was like, oh, but everybody wants to be an influencer, and so now we have these people just chasing after. Well, I want to be an influencer. And what it comes down to is the fact that we have forgotten that we're called to live, again, peaceful, quiet, dignified, and godly lives. Like, we make life so much more complicated than it has to be. And I think about my dad when it comes down to this, and my dad may not be known by, like, I mean, really, outside of maybe a 60-mile radius.
I never met him.
Yeah, like, outside of a 60-mile radius from Danville, like, probably a handful of people know him that aren't directly related to him. Okay, cool. But the impact he had on the kingdom by doing what? Not by trying to be the next Billy Graham, but by pursuing a quiet, peaceful, godly, dignified life. And those are the people that change the world. There are people, you know, we called some of them out last week. There are people who scream from the rooftops and have to have, I saw one of the guys we talked about last week now has 2 million followers. Great. But what are you doing for the kingdom? Because if you're teaching a false message, if you're giving them anything other than Jesus, that just means there's 2 million people now exposed to false doctrine who you've become a stumbling block for. And so... living this quiet life, you will be amazed. And this doesn't mean don't share the gospel. Let's be real clear here. But this means that you don't have to, you don't care if your name's ever in lights, you don't care who knows your name, but that your life reflects Jesus to people. And so those are the people that change the world.
There are two men I know, and one's here at Marion. This is where we record, Marion. One's here at Marion, and one's at New Vision. They live very peaceful lives,
mm-hmm.
but they're also two of the most thankful men I've ever met. The one is like he's very quiet.
Yeah.
He's from here. He's very quiet. The other one cries a lot. I mean, he does. But
but
both are. I mean, they're very thankful. You know.
Yeah.
At least once a week. The one at New Vision, I've gotten really close to him. He tells me once a week he's thankful for me.
Yep. And that leaves an impression.
Yeah, and he'll just stop. In the middle of a conversation, he'll just stop and go, I'm just so thankful you're here.
Yep.
And I listen to him talk to other people, and he always says that to everybody.
I assume you enjoy those conversations more than I'm just being honest conversations. It's a little bit different.
Oh, 100%. I zone more in when they say
both
that.
Both leave an impression, but it's what kind of impression you're leaving. Absolutely.
Exactly. I can remember, you know, growing up, the man here, he would pray for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
When my dad would ask him to pray, he would like, it would be so long because he would pray for everybody.
Yeah.
And he was always thankful. Like he would start off his prayers with thanking God for all this, and he'd go into praying for everybody, even people who weren't sick. He just knew, you know, hey, we're struggling a little bit. He'd pray for them.
Yeah.
But those two men live such peaceful lives.
And people like that, the difference is, first of all, they're in their word, they're in prayer, they're active in their relationship with God. But also there's this practice that it's not some mystery. There's this practice of being mindful of other people, of genuinely caring for those that you are part of this family of faith with, as well as those who you know are lost. And so if you begin to practice, again, during your prayer time, it will continue to grow. It's like a muscle you have to work out. If you haven't used it in a while, it's a little tougher to move, you know. And so what you'll see is these people practice that daily. And it's because they do have a genuine love for God's people. And I want to get to the last part of this because we're coming up on the end here. Verse 3, this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. And 4 is what I really want to hit on, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So here's the deal. If God desires that everyone would be saved, now we're given free will. We know not everyone will be saved because of what they do with the gospel. Because
it's a little FW.
Free will. Okay, I was like, what?
You might be the easiest person to confuse.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm well aware of it. That's the sad part. But, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, how dare we turn away people that God would accept? God says, all I require is that you believe, you accept what Christ did and who he is, and you repent and come to me.
So Sunday night, I do Bible study at New Vision, and we were having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We were going through the Beatitudes, and the first three are really about humility, mm-hmm. you know, and we're talking about meekness, which is being submissive, not being like
I'm a doormat.
Yeah, but like, you know, not blowing your top off because somebody, you know, somebody cut you off in traffic. And I told him, and this really it goes to this point too, is one moment of lapse in judgment, mm-hmm. one moment of you not loving the other person, mm-hmm. you not praying for that person, you're not putting it into practice, can ruin your testimony.
Oh, absolutely.
And
it can happen so quick, but it'll take so long to repair.
Like that's why Paul has it here, because God desires for every man to come to Christ. But if we're sitting here, you know, yelling at people, not living that peaceful life, not showing that love that God has called us to, you can ruin your whole testimony mm-hmm. off one small lapse in judgment, one small error. You can lose your whole testimony, and it all comes from you just not loving everyone. Jesus loved everybody. If he didn't love every single person, he wouldn't have died.
For every single person.
Yes. And how dare we sit there and say, well, you know, even though God loves you, I don't.
Yeah. You pass God's, you know, qualifications
exactly.
of accepting, but you're not good enough for me.
It goes back to the debt thing where, you know, the slave goes to his master. He owed like 1,000 denarii. Yeah. He's like, I don't have it. Can you please give me another day? He's like, no, I forgive you of all debt. It's okay.
Yeah.
But then he goes to the guy who owes him 10, and he's like, hey, give me my money now.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Is we owe God so much, and he loves us, and he forgave us.
Because nobody's sinning against us. They may offend us, but they can't sin against us because we're not God.
Yeah, and we're sinful. we're equals to them,
but we're like, well, how dare you? You offended me. Like, come on,
it's insane.
All right, so we are going to finish up. Final thought:
pray and love one another.
And
you'll see change in your life.
Yeah, you feel like you're adding on as you.
Well, you said there's a comma, and so
no, I was just trying to figure out. Like, all I heard was like, eat, pray, love. That's all.
Oh no, pray and love. Others, I mean, and you'll see a change in your life.
Yeah. I guess mine is just...
Here we go.
No, like... Mine is, again, just lead the quiet life God calls you to.
And stop.
I'm biting my tongue.
I know, I saw
it. It's so hard.
You breathed in to get your second wind. I'm like, okay, nope.
And another thing.
And another.
All right, pray us out, man.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for letting us, you know, sit here and just be able to fellowship with each other, Lord, and just be able to talk about you on this platform, Lord. Be with us, Lord, that me and Dan, even in our own lives, because we're not perfect, that we pray for others and we love everyone we come in contact with, Lord. And just let us be the light that you called us to be. It always is reflecting your love to the lost, and that pulls them in, not pushes them away. Mm. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's a great day. Have a great day. So, have a great day.